you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we continue with the Spirituality, Faith, and Healing series with three individuals who share their stories with us about how they have been healed as a result of their faith. My first guest is Carolyn Jones, lured to the San Francisco Bay Area by dreams of ocean sailing. Carolyn lived aboard a sailboat in the late 90s. Eventually, she evolved from boater to landlubber, problem drinker to sober, married to single, nurse to author, photographer, publisher, and finally from RV van living to homeowner. Carolyn traveled the western states and Mexico for 3 years while photographing dozens of gates. She has hundreds of images from her journeys. Currently, Carolyn is available to speak to a variety of audiences about the origin and birth of her book. In addition to gates, published for her book, Opening the Gates of the Heart, Carolyn photographs color, light, through cut glass, producing vibrant and magical images. She won first prize for her image, Down the Straightway, from Guest Galleries. Her abstract works is published in Photo Workshop's book, Photos That Inspire, and Photo and Arts Abstracts 2007, Volume 2. Color Burst was chosen for the back cover of Abstracts 2007, Volume 2, and was awarded the Curator's Choice Award. More information is available at www.gatelady.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Carolyn, and I look forward to hearing how faith helped you overcome depression and despair. Now, first, Carolyn, will you tell us a little about you and the problems you had?
Yes, Carl. First of all, let me thank you very much for having me on your show. I really am excited about this.
It's my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I have spent a fair amount of my life being depressed, being in a state of worthlessness, pretty much afraid of other people and of situations, a great deal of shame I have experienced in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got to a point where I was so discouraged and so distraught that I was praying to God to let me die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was, and that occurred about 5 or 6 years after I became sober, which I did in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, was that your lowest point?
Yes, that was my lowest point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what had you done to solve the problem, Carolyn, before you turned to faith?
I really didn't do anything before I turned to faith. I guess I did, actually. I sought help from a therapist,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they put me on some medication for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped somewhat, but I still would be going along and I would, like, fall off a cliff
mm-hmm.
into despair.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out what the problem was. I finally came to the conclusion that one of the issues I was dealing with was the fact that I saw no point to the pain in life that I had endured.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought me great despair.
Mm-hmm.
There was just no point in having suffered it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a good support group, Carolyn?
I really did. I mm-hmm. joined a support group to become sober.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were my rock, if mm-hmm. you will.
Mm-hmm. And then you turned to faith at the point when you hit the lowest point, or is that incorrect?
I actually discovered faith for a brief period of time before I got sober and for a couple of years into sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And I developed that by reading the book Conversations with God
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
by Neil Donald Walsh. And I was enthralled. I loved the concept that God was in everything and in everyone,
mm-hmm.
including me.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the idea that there were no coincidences, that God was in everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
In
Definitely.
Fact, it was this belief that allowed me to seek the help to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once I became sober, I began to feel my feelings very intensely. And eventually I was led to healing, but for quite a while I was in great agony and, like I said, often despair, and I wondered where God was,
mm-hmm.
and I concluded that he wasn't there for me when I needed him, and I needed to watch my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I again lost, you know, any faith that I had developed, but I had a spiritual advisor who suggested that I notice situations when they fell easily into place and considered that that was God working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I did start doing that, and the more I noticed, the more awareness I had that some force was working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I chose, and I still choose, to believe that that was God.
Mm-hmm.
So I became very grateful for that, and the more grateful I was, the more faith I had.
Mm-hmm.
And the more faith I had, the more things started to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to lessen my control of everything and let God lead me.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to do, isn't it?
It really is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's always better than what I imagine
mm-hmm.
could possibly happen. Always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Carolyn, how long did this process take?
It took about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before I really, truly developed faith. Like I said, for about the first year or two into sobriety, I believed that there was a God behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And then for about the next 4 years, maybe five, I had great difficulty with God and was very angry again at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been the past year or two that I've had a pretty strong faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you see is happening differently now as a result of this faith?
Ah, I experience joy and peace
mm-hmm.
pretty much on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get in great angst over situations and experiences that are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When they arise, I'm able to look for the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with that belief, I'm able to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that I'm just able to enjoy a peace that I've never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I could experience this, actually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think I've been searching for it my whole life.
Well, I think it's great that you look for the lesson in the things that happen, because I think that's a very important thing for all of us to learn, that things do not happen by chance and that there are lessons to be learned. And once we learn the lesson, we won't have those experiences again.
Right. Right. That's been my experience anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love how you said that things are not a coincidence, that there are not coincidences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I've learned to believe that also,
mm-hmm.
that God is behind everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also demonstrate that what goes around comes around, because as you have developed your faith, it sounds like that your interactions are much better with others. And as a result of that, good things are coming back to you.
Yes. Yes. In fact, as I've developed more faith, my attitude is more, what can I do for the other person?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how can I be godly toward the other person?
Mm-hmm.
And I have stopped worrying so much about what I'm going to get out of a situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then it does come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness does come back to me.
Right. But as a nurse, Carolyn, you always had a certain amount of that in you. You had to.
Well, I believed pretty strongly in Western medicine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the powers of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe so much when I was a nurse in God being
mm-hmm.
involved in healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I have definitely changed my tune on that.
Right. And I bet you're a much better nurse as a result of this experience.
I'd like to think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Then, Carolyn, is there anything else you would like to say to the listeners before we look at your books and services?
I don't think so, Carl.
No.
I think that I've pretty much said what I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I might say, by looking at everything with a better attitude,
mm-hmm.
I look forward with anticipation versus having a lot of angst.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I get a lot of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to open myself up to being healed emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
And you're exactly right that those experiences occur until we learn them,
mm-hmm.
till we learn the lesson,
mm-hmm.
and we become healed. And then they stop happening.
Mm-hmm. Better things replace them.
Yes. Much better things.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, Carolyn, would you tell us about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes. I have written a book called Opening the Gates of the Heart, A Journey of Healing. And that's about my own healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through the steps that I experienced that led me to joy and peace. And I tell that journey through uplifting prose that I wrote and photographs that I took of wrought iron gates.
Mm-hmm.
I basically had no idea, though, Carl, that I was creating a book until several years into it. I started journaling back in 1999 to manage my feelings,
mm-hmm.
because while I was married, I fell in love with another man.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yes, that was bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not been happy in my marriage at all. So this incident occurred, and I didn't know how to manage those feelings,
mm-hmm.
that were arising, so I started writing about them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, then I started photographing these gates,
mm-hmm.
that I had discovered and fell in love with. And so these two activities went side by side, but they never intertwined,
mm-hmm.
until one day I wrote in my journal a phrase that totally described an image that I had just titled.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, it prompted me to search my journals,
mm-hmm.
for other verses that fit other photographs that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I found bunches of prose,
mm-hmm.
that fit with my images,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I attribute to God,
right. mm-hmm.
being involved in my life. And from that point is when I became, that was when the book was conceived,
mm-hmm.
the idea for the book. And so since that point in time, and that was back in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and since that time I've been putting my book together, getting the courage together to present it to the world, because after all, I am bearing my soul in this book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that took a lot of guts for me to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, would you read us some of the poetry that you have written and also describe the pictures that are associated with the poetry?
Certainly, Carl. And I'd just like to make a word about what I'm going to read. It basically gives a very brief outline or overview, if you will, of my process that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So we start here with the first one I'd like to read as Worthlessness. And the title is Corner of Worthlessness. I try and try to climb up to the light of my being, yet I cannot scale the wall of my worthlessness. So I collapse again in the shadows, a heap of broken debris in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now the picture that goes with this is of a corner of a stair, and there are these little helicopter type things that fall from trees that are stuck to the vertical section of this stair,
mm-hmm.
as if they're trying to climb to the top. And then in the corner you see a bunch of broken cement and leaves, fallen leaves that are dried and dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And over all of it is a shadow of a gate.
Mm-hmm. Great.
the next one I'd like to read is called Surrender of Pretense. I put on a courageous face and move bravely forward, but I feel lost and displaced. My heart dies one piece at a time behind a gate that rusts away. I am no longer able to maintain the pretense that all is fine behind my gate of false bravado and politeness. It is time to let others see the pitted, rusted metal that is me. It is time to let myself come out from behind my gate. Now, the gate for this one, Carl, is an old, rusted gate. The spindles on it are all metal. They're very thin from wear, and it has kind of a rusty, orangish glow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking through it at a set of flagstone stairs that go up the hill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next one is Spaces of Courage. We all hold feelings of hurt, disappointment, grief, and despair deep within from which we desperately seek relief. We repress it, drink it away, or turn to another to make it right. Perhaps, rather than cast the pain out of our heart or give it to another, it would be better to find the courage to touch that oh-so-vulnerable spot, to hold the pain gently, tenderly, with great compassion. If we find the courage to invite in a sacred force to embrace those deep wounds with us, perhaps we will be graced with the ability to befriend our pain and then to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one is, we are looking up at a blue sky, and silhouetted against that sky is a gate that has a cross on the top of it, like a little angel
mm-hmm.
with a little halo on it. And as we look through the gate, we're seeing the steeple of a church,
mm-hmm.
also with a cross on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd like to go to Respect of Individuality. We ask others to follow our dreams, to be like us. Why? Why can we not celebrate the talents and skills and differences of each other, encouraging others and ourselves to greatness? Daring to stand out, to be unique, to be individual. The picture that goes with this one is that of a big iron gate with 1, 2, 4 spires
mm-hmm.
that we see marching along. And the first one is out of line with the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really sticks out and becomes a unique individual.
You always have a gate, don't you?
Everyone is a gate, yeah. They're all gates. Gates have meant so much to me mm-hmm. in my life, and the photos and how the titles came together for the photos and then how the prose showed up just became very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have 2 more to read, if that would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one is Visions of Gratitude. When seen with eyes and heart that appreciate, everything around and within me becomes more pleasing, more beautiful. And the image that goes with this, we are looking through the silhouette of a gate of roses.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of vines, and it's black silhouette, and the background is a blurred out green of the foliage that's beyond the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'd like to read Fulfillment of Dreams. And I'd like to read this because putting this book together and publishing it is certainly fulfillment of my dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am waking up from a lifetime of sleeping, and I'm just beginning to learn to play, to fill my sails and dance across the shimmering waters. I'm fulfilling dreams I have held in my heart forever that I did not know and so could not follow. Now, the image of this is we're looking through the bough of a fir tree and a gate onto the water of the San Francisco Bay, and there are 3 sailboats on the water there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that image looks like.
Now, these move from a feeling of heaviness, depression, to a lightness, happiness. Is that correct?
That is correct. It goes through, in between those two points, it also goes through things like awareness, searching self, learning to be more tolerant,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at kindness, gentleness, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the topics that I cover.
Many of the spiritual attributes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful.
That's how I got the titles for these, and the subject matter is I made a list of spiritual attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I matched up photographs with those words and then expanded the title a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing these, Carolyn. They're beautiful.
Ah, thank you.
Now, Carolyn, do you have a website or some way the listeners can reach you and also read about your book?
Yes, and my website is www.gatelady.com. That's GATELADY, gatelady.com. And I have a video trailer on that, and I have a little icon that allows you to look through the book a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is great. And is there anything else now, Carolyn, you would like to say?
I can't think of anything, Carl.
No. Well, I appreciate this very much, Carolyn, and it's always great to talk with a nurse colleague.
Yes.
It's also great to hear people's experiences that have turned to God and that have felt healing as a result of that relationship.
Yes, it's been quite a blessing.
Great. Thank you,
Carolyn.
Quite
a blessing. Well, thank you very much, Carl.
Mm-hmm. I waited over a year and turned down several offers for sponsors to find the right one. After reviewing the current issue of a distinctive style magazine, I know that with God's help, I picked the right one. The video interviews, the written pages, the magnificent pictures, and the music I heard were all fantastic and included interviews with such stars as Clarice Leachman, Mark Victor Hansen, and Antonio Sabato, Jr., and music by Paula Nelson, daughter of Willie Nelson, and Mark Ballas in his debut solo album. But this was just the start. Then there was a series on cancer in celebration of National Cancer Month, and interviews included survivors and those who work with cancer, such as Olivia Newton-John, a survivor, Melinda Marchiana, a 16-year-old survivor, Fran Drescher, and Dr. Sharon Winter, also a survivor who used alternative treatments and later became a naturopathic physician to help others. Then I saw a picture of a magnificent cathedral, probably in Europe, and heard the voice of 7-year-old Rima Marvana, singing Amazing Grace and the Lord's Prayer. Reading about her compassion for others and hearing her voice brought tears to my eyes. Magazines do not come better than the Distinctive Style magazine. I can't imagine what could top this issue, but I look forward to seeing, and I'm sure you will want to also. Go to www.adistinctivestyle.com to subscribe to this remarkable magazine. My second guest is Richard Schuping. Richard awoke through AIDS and is now here sharing with the world that through love anything is possible, including healing of cancer and AIDS. He shares that many are passing from illnesses that may easily be reversed with right guidance. And so he is sharing with others the insight that he gained through immeasurable suffering with AIDS, so that those who are suffering in any way will realize that there are choices that they can make to alleviate their own suffering. He says that by becoming more knowledgeable of alternative therapies and becoming more aware, we open up to new choices that not only address the symptoms of our dis-ease, but more importantly, address the root causes of our dis-ease. In his book, From Suffering to Soaring, he shares his journey into and of and beyond AIDS. Richard is also a singer and songwriter, and we will hear a song from his CD, This Song We Sing. In this CD, he shares songs of unconditional love, non-judgment, celebration of life, healing, peace, stillness, and unity. His new CD, Be Here Now, celebrates this moment and the body. He has a video channel on YouTube with live performances and music videos. More information is available at www.richardshuping.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Richard, and I look forward to hearing how faith helped you overcome HIV/AIDS and about your creative activities since then. First, can you tell us about developing AIDS and what you did during the initial period?
Yes, I basically, in 2003, or probably mid-2002, was actually diagnosed with what we call AIDS. And in the very beginning, I was just immobilized by fear and thought I was going to die because I've been diagnosed HIV positive in 1993. So all up until that point, I had just been stressing myself and becoming very mentally ill, and it started to affect my body.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the very first things that I did was I started taking the medications. I was following the allopathic guidance, but the toxicity was making me even more ill.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I just began to seek. I became a vegetarian, vegan, raw foodist because mm-hmm. I knew that my body needed energy. I felt toxic, but I wasn't clear on that. So I started taking the medications. I started eating as healthy and organic as I could,
mm-hmm.
and that was my main first step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is wrong with the current medical regime for HIV/AIDS?
Well, personally, if you already have a weak system, the last thing you can do is add more medicines that are going to tax your body and require
mm-hmm.
all of these processes and all of this digestion and all of this excretion. And you know, I just realized my heart basically said, as simple as I can keep it, as clean as I can keep it, that's what's going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped really listening only to the external world
mm-hmm.
and their opinions. I really started listening to my body and my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about the AIDS medications, but I do know that the same happens with cancer, that people are so run down, and then they put them on chemotherapy, and it destroys the immune system, and
exactly.
then they don't have anything to fight back with. So I assume it's the same process with not only...
It is. The medications they give you are basically even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in to get chemo, you get chemo, you're done with it, you heal, you move on.
Mm-hmm.
These drugs for what they're calling AIDS are a constant small amount of chemotherapy that just slowly
mm-hmm.
weakens you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can almost be indiscernible, but if you're ill, you feel it right away. What they call quote-unquote side effects is from radiation. And if you're at such a weak point in your immune system, and if you're not strong enough to deal with the radiation and the chemicals from these drugs, they're going to slowly kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I lost 3 husbands over 9 years, and they were vibrant men that were told they were HIV, and within 1 to 2 years, they died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, they were all on the drugs, and my heart tells me that the drugs did it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about AIDS consciousness. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Basically, the other part of this is I began to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I meditated, the more I realized that these thoughts and these fears were coming out of my own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I realized is that there's really no, even today, there's really no proven connection between HIV and AIDS and disease. You know, I realized my own thoughts were creating my limitations, and it was becoming my reality. And so I realized AIDS was in my mind. You know, my body was reflecting the choices that I made, and these choices were based on my beliefs. And so the more I meditated, the more I kind of began to expand out of the all these definitions of AIDS and all these stories about AIDS. And I started to realize that, well, I'm more than that, because mm-hmm. they're happening within my awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started to wake up out of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, Richard, that you watched your diet, that you'd eat organic, and that you also meditate. And what other things do you do? It sounds like you have a holistic approach to your lifestyle at this point. And so what else do you do as part of that?
Well, do you mean today?
Right, in your life now, right.
Today, AIDS isn't even in my reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just, how is my body today? What am I putting into my senses? How is it affecting me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get a sore throat, is it AIDS, or is it just a dry throat from not drinking enough water, or a reaction to some food? Or, you know, it's the way I am today is I just don't go that many steps into the story anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go into the fear of it. I don't connect to all the possibilities. I deal with my direct experience, and mm-hmm. that is how I live my whole life.
But what is your direct experience? You're still meditating, and you're still watching your diet? Because these are things that people do for a healthy lifestyle. I eat organic. I am very particular about what I eat. I meditate every day. I visualize. I sometimes use affirmations. I pray every day. I mean, this is a healthy lifestyle. So are there other things that you do at this point to maintain your wellness, regardless of what has happened in the past?
Yes, I just don't buy into any story that is creating a limitation within myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really just try and remain present in this moment so that presence and life can make a choice based on this moment and not on my history, not on my stories, not on my past, not on the possible future.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I practice, I meditate, I have breath awareness. And really, when you meditate, you kind of get to a certain point to where your meditation becomes a living meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything becomes an education in understanding how you are thinking about yourself in this exact moment.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any testing done? Because I know in your book, you mentioned that you were cured, but your T-cell count would indicate that you still had AIDS. So do you have any testing done now?
No, I have not, because, again, you can't measure the body's immune system from one cell,
mm-hmm.
one the T-cells. I mean, it's every organ, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's every system. So to me, that's kind of silly. It's playing a little bit of a game. So I've never been inspired to go back to my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It just fell away. At one moment I was in it, and the next moment I was out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so every same experience that when I was in it could be justified, could be seen from a different perspective. You know, it could not have been AIDS. It just could have been an exhaustion. It could have been malnutrition, because that's what it really all was. Such high stress levels that I was wearing myself out. You know, I was on this mission to save the world, save everybody, and I was just forgetting myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't water a flower, no matter how much you water another garden, that flower is just not going to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I turned the love and the nourishment to myself, all of those personalities that were limited and thinking that they were dying, thinking they were afraid of the world, they just fell away.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the greatest thing I can do is go up to someone and listen,
mm-hmm.
and not get in the drama, not be a part of it. Because when you're in your own drama, then all you see is drama and deal with drama in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just kind of go out and you're open and you're listening and you don't have all these beliefs in the way, you can get right to the heart of people. And that's when real healing and real resonance and real love occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I live my day.
Mm-hmm. When you meditate, are you meditating to something higher within or God, or how do you conceptualize your meditation?
I don't really. I just sit down. But I kind of got through all those things in my mind, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the gods and the deities. And it's really about meditating so that I know that I'm present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't chant Om to create love. We chant Om to recognize we're chanting Om. You know, it's really what I have discovered. It's about recognizing that we are here now. You know, it's not about
mm-hmm.
something else or something other. It's about here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Life is expressing right now, and I think it's Richard Schuping, but truly it's just life expressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have to work at it. I don't really have to make a lot of decisions. I just am flowing in the blessings and the grace that exist.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by the grace?
I mean by the awareness in the one body that is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body taught me so much as well. You know, I realized, is my thumb better than my liver? You know, is my foot better than my heart? It's everything is working together. And I started to look out at the world and realize that that's how it is. I mean, it's like, well, is this, these people fighting in another country, is that wrong or right? Or is it just an energy that is working itself out? Is it just an expression?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I could always look and find something wrong. But once I let that kind of go, I realized everything is pretty much neutral, and then we overlay our beliefs on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I stopped doing that, once I got over my beliefs in my head that were based on the past, everything just became one giant expression of love.
Mm-hmm. And do you equate love with energy, with a higher being, or what do you equate love with?
Yes. When I say love, I mean all that is happening right now is in divine order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we get out of the way, we recognize mm-hmm. that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can call it pure consciousness, awareness, God, whatever mm-hmm. you really want to call it, that helps you open up beyond your own individual story.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do say love, that is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the confusion that creates is even a problem as well. It's really just be here, be present, be grateful. Don't define it, and let everything be a gift.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you have created since you have come to this realization?
Well, the book came through pretty much instantly. You know, it was actually 600 pages, maybe 800 pages, and I really just took about 200 of them and made my first book, and I thought I was going to have all these books afterwards, but then you kind of get to the point of who are you really teaching,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just kind of like you're being who you are right now and expressing, that's what it is, and I also wrote a CD
mm-hmm.
right after the book as well called This Song We Sing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've written a newer CD called Be Here Now,
mm-hmm.
which is really about being present and about celebrating the body now. You know, again, beliefs fell away because I don't have the belief to exist.
Mm-hmm.
You can aim once you're in the present moment if you so choose to experience it that way. But then again, you don't even really have to because it's just going to happen. The only time we don't think it's happening is when we stop and think about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it is what it is, and it's all happening, and it's in perfect order when we let it be. So I sing my joy, sing at Unity Churches now, and that's wonderful, and I'm loving that, and I'm writing music, and I'm making videos for songs,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
and just you know, living every day.
Mm-hmm. Then, Richard, we are going to, at the after we finish, listen to one of your songs, which I know will be a treat to the listeners. And is there anything else you would like to say before we look specifically at the title of your book and how the listeners can locate these?
Yes, they can come to my website, www.richardschooping.com. There are links to buy my book, to buy music. There's a blog. There are links to buy posters, T-shirts. You know, it's just all types of fun things that are available if you resonate. And the song we're going to play is off the new album. It's kind of a pop rock alternative song called Be Here Now. And it's really, the song itself is just let it go, let the past go, let tomorrow go, let what you're holding go. So then your arms are wide open, your hands are empty, and you can receive what is existing and what is being blessed upon you now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the song is, Be Here Now. Everything's because of you and the things you do, my beloved. And again, beloved is a word like love, which is a word that is trying to encompass everything in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else then you would like to say, Richard, before we close?
Just listen to each other so you can see each other as you truly are.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I thank you very much, Richard. This has been interesting, and I know that the listeners will be inspired by your music and will look forward to reading your book. So,
yes,
I thank you.
If you're inspired, contact me. Email me through my website. I'm happy to speak with you.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything for free, but I accept donations through PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Carl, for having me on the show. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We are the sunlight and the golden sun. We are the miracle molded in God's hand. The greatest ocean and eternal spring. Because of love, this song we sing. We are the mountains and the winding shores. We are the wine and the love on which it soars. The magnificent earth and don't reside in. Because of love, this song we sing. We are the forest, the stands of that old green. That are unseen and unseen, a holy family you awaken. Because of love, this song we sing. We are the music, the glorious harmony. We are the instruments sounding God's symphony. Oh, for all eternity. We are.
My last guest is Cheryl Peterson, who all of her life felt connected to her whole being. Because she could not see the whole being, she harnessed the power of faith in order to practice holistic well-being. Through her research, she discovered a positive trajectory of healing, and after being healed herself, she opened her own spiritual treatment center. Here she provides workshops. More information is available at www.healingsciencetoday.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Cheryl, and I look forward to hearing about your healing from a bleeding liver and second-degree burns on your face that were a result of an accident. Now, can you tell us about the accident?
Sure, Carl. I remember going to the hospital, and after x-rays did reveal that fatally bleeding liver and fractures also, along with the second-degree burns. I have to admit, I wouldn't say I had a lot of faith, but I did have some hope. So I treated this hope, and my hope expanded into a faith, which did emerge into a spiritual understanding that took me to new heights.
Mm-hmm.
I realized undamaged love is my life,
mm-hmm.
my substance. And then from that point, the surgeon and I discussed non-intrusive care.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon did respect my spiritual treatment, and that respectful environment was so powerful, I did not even need that surgery to stop my bleeding liver because it healed naturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, also, Carl, which was interesting, I didn't need pain relievers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
This example reminds me of a caterpillar of hope that spun itself into a cocoon of faith and soon emerged into a beautiful butterfly of whole health.
Mm-hmm. Now, Cheryl, can you give us some examples of faith and holistic health in action?
An example of faith, I really felt that when I was in the hospital, the second-degree burns healed naturally, and that was due to the spiritual faith in God and in knowing that God created a health and
mm-hmm.
that I could feel it and participate in that health. And that sense, it gave me a sense of newness. And my thought was looking forward then instead of going in that backward spiral, downward turn, because to have second-degree burn scars on my face wouldn't have
mm-hmm.
been very good. And so the example is that sense of newness, it renewed my consciousness and my physical appearance in
mm-hmm.
such a way that new skin started growing within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 3 weeks, you could not even tell that I had a burnt face.
Hmm. You talk about spiritual treatment. What do you mean by that?
Well, treating not the problem, but treating spiritual answers. I don't overanalyze the physical symptoms. The physical condition is constantly mutating, rewiring, changing, and evolving. However, whole health or universal faith and well-being is an effective center point, an ideal that can be treated, understood, and experienced. The focus isn't to try to fix a part of something,
mm-hmm.
but to understand the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this requires focusing on or treating health.
Mm-hmm. The method of spiritual treatment, can that be learned by anyone?
Oh, yes, Carl. Because spiritual treatment relates to the universal mind, not the human mind, but divine mind, accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I call that mind God also, but it's important to remember because we human beings have been habituated to believe that a middleman or an expert or a religious hierarchy is necessary to intervene for us with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't true. Those people are fine, but only a part of the whole. A holistic view treats from the standpoint that we all have a direct experience of undamaged health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Cheryl, you were also privileged to update a book on divine healing that was called Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures that was written by 19th century spiritual healer Mary Baker Eddy. Can you leave us with one tidbit you learned in writing the revised work?
Well, I guess one tidbit is that Mary Baker Eddy refers to Christ Jesus often in her book, Science and Health. At first, I thought it rather partial or stereotypical, although I admit Jesus had a great understanding of health.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally sat back and viewed the whole picture. The references to Christ or to Scripture are a simple proof that a thread of faith and holistic health has been woven through existence forever.
Mm-hmm.
Past, present, and future is one on a personal and a collective level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Cheryl, can you tell us about your workshops and products and how the listeners can reach you?
The workshop is a gathering, it's like a collective collaboration of spiritual thoughts, and we help each other look for answers that help us attain a holistic health. We meet about once a month,
mm-hmm.
and anybody can come, and it's based around the framework of science and health in today's language,
mm-hmm.
which I did revise Mary Baker Eddy's book. And I called it 21st Century Science and Health.
Mm-hmm.
And that the book covers all elements of health, mental, bodily, and family relationships. And we share our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Good. And how can the listeners reach you?
Through my website, which is www.healingsciencetoday.com. I'm also on Twitter at Cheryl Peterson. All with the vowel E,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. that's about the best way.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I thank you very much, and I've enjoyed talking with you today, Cheryl.
Yeah, I hope we can speak again.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carl.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com. Where all shows are archived following broadcast on BBS Radio. On my website, I also have information for signing up for my free monthly newsletter on holistic health, a button for purchasing, and description of my latest book, Healthy Holistic Aging, and some ebooks and a CD on smoking cessation. I hope you are enjoying the series on faith, spirituality, and healing that should last for another 2 months. If you have ideas for future series, I would like to hear from you. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good week.